Welcome to the Microsoft IT Pro Podcast, a show about Office 365, Azure, and the IT Pro and end user side of life. Each week, we'll discuss a different topic or recent news related to Office 365 and Azure and how it relates to you as an IT Pro. The Microsoft IT Pro Podcast is never longer than 30 minutes, so let's get started. Good morning, Scott. Here we are. Another week. I'm back from Vegas. I'm getting adjusted to Eastern time again.
Good luck to you.
Yeah, yesterday was rough. Today, I feel significantly better. I was exhausted all day yesterday, but I refused to take a nap so I could hopefully fall asleep at a somewhat reasonable hour.
It's good to have hopes and dreams and all that stuff. I feel like I'm living the left coast life. I'm doing some projects with some folks in Seattle right now. So it's like every meeting starts at 5 p.m.
Yeah, I know how that goes. Well, look on the bright side. Another, 2.5 weeks, we'll be out on that side. Out in Vegas for the SharePoint conference, right?
At least a little bit closer to it, yeah.
Yeah, so what do you want to talk about today? Should we catch up on some news?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Do you have anything particular that jumps out at you that you want to start with? You want me to kick it off?
I can go ahead and start us off. So I think one of the really fun things that came out was the announcement for global VNet peering. So in one of our Azure talks, we went into a little bit of the enterprise control plane and virtual data center and how all that stuff comes together. And one of the big things that comes into play for customers is the ability to peer networks between Azure regions and even geopolitical regions. So if we think about standing up a East US, West US pair. And now we can have not just things like storage replication between them, but we can actually peer networks across them directly on the Microsoft side, which means we don't need to provision, you know, sometimes all the tooling we'd put in place, like gateways and things like that, with traditional kind of site-to-site VPNs or express routes or whatever else it happens to be. And then we can also be pinned onto Microsoft's global backbone, which is super awesome. So that had some limited availability when they first announced it. You know, it was in a handful of data centers. That is now available in all Azure public regions. It is only restricted in things like, I believe, China and maybe Germany, something like that. Oh, no, I'm sorry. China, Germany, and Azure Gov. So any of the GCC stuff. But other than that, global VNet peering available in all regions. So now you can peer directly on Microsoft's backbone, and you're only subject to ingress and egress for your pricing, which could be super cool.
Very nice. Yeah, definitely. Good to see that continue to move forward and keep getting more and more, becoming more and more available.
Yeah, if you're doing any type of business continuity or disaster recovery scenarios, particularly with IaaS in Azure, this is a really sweet tool, and it's now available in everyone's toolbox.
All right. Good to hear. So one of my big ones, well, I got lots of fun announcements, but one that just continues to move forward is Microsoft Teams. We've heard a lot about it ever since Ignite last year, and they just continue to make improvements. So the new Microsoft Teams and Skype for Business combined admin center is rolling out right now. It's a little goofy how you see it. I've seen different people comment about different ways they've been able to access it. If you have it, it should show up if you go into your Office 365, go into settings, go into Microsoft Teams, and start digging through the settings. If it's been flighted to your tenant, you should see a link to it in there. I have had some people that say, hey, it's not showing up for me anywhere, but if I go to admin.teams.microsoft.com, I can access it. I actually tried that, and I get the URL loads for me, but I get an error message in my URL that says not flighted. So if you're looking to try it, go test it out. Again, this is rolling out to first release customers yet, obviously not out there completely, but hopefully if you are in first release, you should be getting it any day.
Awesome. Yeah, that'll be a big one. There's so much legacy still in some of those admin interfaces when we think about Skype for Business and the Exchange Admin Center, EAC, and ECP, all that kind of stuff. So very nice to see those updates coming along. They've also announced some updates to the roadmap when it comes to Skype for Business and Teams being able to play nicer together. So once you do get access to that new admin center, you're going to see some new messaging policies available to you that you can go ahead and push down. And then also some new messaging capabilities are coming, including things like secure guest access via email and also secure guest access on iOS and Android devices, which will be really nice.
Yeah, definitely. And they did do a nice update to the roadmap. We'll throw a link to the updated roadmap in the show notes. But one thing that is on there that is rolling out now, this is something that hasn't shown up in my tenant yet either, or it might even be a limitation of the macOS client from what I've seen, but that federated chat between Skype for Business and Teams. So I work with a lot of clients. I'm federated with a lot of them. One thing that's keeping me in Skype for Business and not Teams is that ability to chat with federated tenants, specifically those tenants that maybe the users are still using Skype for Business, they're not on Teams yet, or even if they are on Teams, again, that whole federation aspect is rolling out. Hopefully it'll be there soon for everybody, and I can maybe like completely get rid of the Skype for Business client on my Mac.
Oh, my heart be still.
So another one that was exciting that I know I've had some clients waiting for this too is there's a Teams on Air podcast. I can't remember if we mentioned this or not. It started as a series of YouTube videos, and they rolled it out to a podcast now. I recommend the YouTube videos because there's still a very visual component to Teams on Air. If they are demoing stuff, showing stuff off, announcing new stuff, one thing that was, and one of the recent ones, is the Teams folks got together and had Mark Cashman on the Teams on Air podcast, and they talked a lot about Teams and SharePoint. And some of the nice features that are going to be coming to Teams, they even said at the end they want like the full SharePoint experience in Teams. They showed some demos of using lists in Teams, but I can only imagine this is going to start coming to document libraries as well, where you can actually start working with the metadata, the views get surfaced in Microsoft Teams. You really get that full SharePoint list experience within the Teams client. So this is really nice. I can't wait for this to come out. I'm sure this is something we're going to hear more about at the SharePoint conference in terms of timeframes. I think the list stuff is already out, document libraries hopefully coming in the somewhat near future. But that was a really good episode. Again, we'll post links to that episode as well as just the whole podcast or YouTube channel where you can go watch the Teams on Air if you want to learn more about Teams and stay up to date with some of what's other stuff going on within Teams.
Just for the show notes, everyone can find those at mscloudITpro.com/episode62. It helps to know where they are as you keep mentioning we write stuff in there.
That's true. I know. We keep mentioning them and we don't always tell people exactly where they are.
Yeah. They've also got some other integrations outside of just SharePoint coming into Teams as well. So Planner had some announcements recently. So now the Planner tab, when we go ahead and add Planner plans into our channels to go ahead and surface them up that way, now those will include schedule views and chart views optionally, depending on how users want to pull those in. So they recently added that schedule view or that calendar view over into the Planner offering proper, I guess. But now you can actually go ahead and surface that up directly within Teams. And then you can also do the same types of interactions that you can over in Planner as well, including drag and drop and things like that. And then if you do happen to bring over the charts, so say you're doing like a burn down chart or you're just looking at like status, buckets, you know, grouping by tasks, whatever it happens to be, you get the same filtering and sorting and everything else that you had over in Planner as well. So Teams continues to grow up and it's slowly but surely becoming that Office 365 viewing client.
I know, like we said before, it's like the new browser. Maybe If you're in Office 365, you don't need to use Edge. You just have to use Teams because you can get to everything there.
Well, only if your organization deploys Teams and tells you about it and lets you know it's out there and all the other good things that come along with that.
That is true. Although, this was an interesting one. Speaking about Teams and deploying it and having access to it, Microsoft recently made an announcement about a free 1 year trial. So this isn't a 30 day, 60 day, 90. It's like 360 days, 365 days. I really do know how many days are in a year. A 1 year trial of Teams for any user of Office 365 or Azure Active Directory, even if this user isn't licensed for the service. So this is a trial that they're going to start rolling out on June 1. And if you don't have a license to access Teams, right now you actually get an error page that says, hey, you don't have access to Teams, you don't have it. Once Microsoft rolls this feature out, if you try to access Teams and you don't yet have a license to it, you'll actually be prompted with an option to start using Microsoft Teams. You can sign up for the trial, and then you'll have that 1 year access to Teams, Planner, Flow for Office 365 Plan 1, Office Online, Power Apps for Office 365 Plan 1, SharePoint Online Plan 1, and Sway. So there are some caveats. It's a free trial that applies to the commercial Office 365 organizations where Teams is turned on at the organization level. So if you don't want your users to actually stumble into Teams, get this 1 year access or 1 year trial access to Teams, you're going to want to make sure to actually disable Teams at the org level. Otherwise, even if you don't license your users for Teams, they'll be able to experience it, use it for a year. My opinion is it's a little bit of a sales approach. Get adoption there by saying, hey, you may not want your users to use it, but Microsoft is going to let them use it anyway. So then they start using it and they want to keep using it. And before you know it, you have the wild, wild west of Teams and your users force you into using it. I don't know, just kind of one of the dangers I see of that. This isn't going to be available everywhere right away. It's not going to be available in education, government, or Office 365 Germany. But again, be aware that June 1, you may want to go in and look at how you have Teams set up, how you have it licensed, whether you have it enabled or not in your organization. Otherwise, you may end up with a whole bunch of users with one-year trials of Teams within your tenant.
We can control whether they get that trial or not, right? That's on us as admins to go in and configure the service the right way and make sure that everything's lit up to where it needs to be. So it's more if you don't want that option, we have to go in and turn off the option that says, you know, let users install trial apps and services.
Exactly.
It's always nice that we have to go in and turn that stuff off.
Yeah, that it's on by default and not off by default.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Wonderful.
What else do we have?
The information worker trial offer. Everybody loves their trial offers. Always good stuff. There was some more with Teams as well. We had the announcement that retention policies are now available. So this comes for conversations within Microsoft Teams and, you know, starts to give us more of those security and compliance controls. So if you're an organization who hasn't been able to roll out Teams, say because of like SOX compliance or things like that, because you needed to retain that conversation history, now that's all available to you. The other good thing about retention policies is they also, you know, allow you to reduce your exposure in the case of events like litigation or security breaches. No, we don't hold anything that's older than a year because it's automatically deleted by the system and pushed out as it needs to. So there's a couple of things there. You get your general compliance actions. So you get to choose whether that policy is doing retention, deletion, or a combination of both, right? Like retain and then delete. And then because these are the same kind of policies that we've had for other workloads like SharePoint Online, you do get some flexibility there too. So you can have a policy for the entire organization. You can scope it to specific locations, specific users, or even specific types of information. So, you know, you're doing those flags for any kind of like PII or data like that. You can go ahead and light those switches up and have them available, which is all very nice.
Yeah, definitely. And I think along the same lines, they have, I think it was Ann Michaels, who we had on the podcast before, talking about reporting. She has since moved over and done a lot with Teams. And if you don't follow her on Twitter, go follow her on Twitter. She tweets all kinds of good stuff around Teams. She actually, I think it was her that tweeted out something the other day with a picture of the Teams client, where now within Teams too, if you set up expiration on these Teams, your Teams owners will see a prompt right in the Teams client saying, hey, your team's expiring, it's going to be deleted. Do you want to extend the expiration on this team or not? So they really are around retention, expiration. I think for expiration, you still need to have like a Azure AD, I think it's P1, to get some of that, because I think it's tied in with the group expiration policies.
Yeah, we talked about being careful with that stuff.
Yeah, slightly different than the retention policies, but again, lots of nifty stuff coming around retention, around expiration, really helping you to manage Teams, all the content within Teams. So keep an eye on that. Check out all that stuff.
Absolutely. You want to talk about some SharePoint stuff?
Sure. Let's jump into that. So one thing, there is a new podcast out there. Everybody just wants to be like us, Scott. We copied AC and CJ, and now can we say other people are copying us by coming out with new podcasts? I don't know.
See, I like to think that AC and CJ copied me because I had a podcast way before them and it was way wittier and way better.
That is true.
They were late to the game and everyone else has been late to the game since then.
Yes, but needless to say, there is a new one out there, the IntraZone. So this is a new podcast specifically focused on SharePoint from Microsoft. So I think it's Mark Cashman and Chris McNulty are doing this one. They are now two episodes in, and I listened to the first one. I haven't had a chance to listen to the second one yet. It seems to be geared a little bit more towards your power users, business users, a little bit more end user-y focused. It's still a good one, though. They talked about like adoption strategies. I think they had Matt Wade on the first one talking about some of the periodic table stuff. So if you want to really get some good SharePoint stuff, go check out the IntraZone podcast from Microsoft.
Yeah, I think I saw that one on Twitter, but I really hadn't been paying too much attention to it. So that's definitely nifty to see it hanging out there.
Yeah, and then you get all the SharePoint stuff straight from Microsoft. I'll leave it at that, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing.
At least on the schedule that they decide to go ahead and give it to you, right?
Yes.
All right, cool. So new podcast from them. One of the interesting things that came out that I noticed was a new built-in flow that allows users or consumers of SharePoint document libraries to go ahead and do things like sign-off features. So now there's a new built-in flow that you can go in and add into your existing document libraries, and it's called just that, request sign-off. So it starts to build out some of the approval flows and some of the kind of lazy approval flows that used to be in things like SharePoint Designer and some of the built-in Microsoft SharePoint workflow, all that Windows workflow foundation stuff, which is really nice and really, really good that Microsoft is starting to provide more examples of those and be able to push them down and have them directly available in our own tenancies.
Yeah, this one is nifty. And the way they implemented it was kind of cool too, where you don't even have to go into Flow to implement this, to turn it on. It's not like a Flow template you grab, but if you go into the SharePoint list and hit the Flow dropdown, as they roll this out, you'll see right underneath the Flow dropdown in a SharePoint library, a request sign off flow that's already built, already deployed to your tenant, already there. You can click on it, type in the approver, any messages, and run the flow. So it's pre-built, pre-deployed, nothing you have to do. It's just there and available for you to use. Another one that is interesting, considering the roadmap and Yammer and SharePoint specifically, is in June of this year, so June 2018, Microsoft is going to be making some changes to social capabilities in SharePoint and Line. Essentially, they are going to take the original SharePoint newsfeed, the public newsfeed in SharePoint Online, and get rid of it. So they've had this SharePoint newsfeed in there. Oh man, I don't even know how long it's been in there. It's been in SharePoint for a while. Was it maybe 2010?
It's been in there, yeah, since the good old 2010 days, if you can think back that far.
Yeah. If you remember newsfeeds in SharePoint 2010, you've been doing SharePoint for too long? I don't know. Although there's people that have been doing it way longer than we have. They also have way less hair.
Yeah, no, those were the good old days when Microsoft was going to make SharePoint social, right? And they used to talk about like all the native social capabilities of SharePoint and how it was great against things like Yammer, and then they went and bought Yammer. So now we got to integrate that in and push it across as well. So I think this is a little bit more of that integration story, right? That some of that stuff never made sense in SharePoint anyway. It wasn't their, it wasn't the core strength in, you know, where SharePoint is everything light sometimes. It's, you know, it makes a little bit more sense to focus on where you're going to get you the most bang for your buck. And social was not one of those areas.
Yeah. And now that they have like the Yammer web part and the new modern UI, you can kind of embed your social that way. So in June of 2018, news feeds are going to get turned into read-only. The option to implement newsfeed capability will go away. And Microsoft's recommendation is use Team News, use communication sites, and or use Yammer for any of that social discussion newsfeedy type stuff.
Newsfeedy type stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Newsfeedy type stuff. We could talk about Groupify. We can tie in with made up words.
Groupification's its own special thing.
Yeah, which you can now do with a SharePoint site. Did you see that news?
What's that?
You can groupify. They actually rolled out the ability to groupify an existing SharePoint site now.
Sure.
I haven't tried it yet, but it is there. So this is another one of those that Microsoft started talking about at Ignite, I believe, was when they first mentioned this. But there are now new PowerShell commandlets out there where you can set SPO site Office 365 group. So this does allow you to go in and take existing classic sites and connect them to Office 365 groups. Again, I haven't played with this yet. It's just starting to roll out. It was rolling out as of, 2 days ago, like May 1 or something. What is it, the 4th? Yeah, somewhere around the 1st, they started rolling this out. So we'll link to the articles about this in the show notes too, if you want to go see the commandlets, what you need to pass in, how that's going to change. But they are rolling that functionality out now where you can take your existing classic SharePoint sites and connect them to Office 365 groups.
I got to play around with that one. It's a little confusing, kind of the way it's written up, right? Because they talk about the ability to are you tying them to new groups, or can I take an existing group and pull a SharePoint site over to it? I'll have to mess with that one a little bit.
And I was looking at this too, again, since it just came out Monday, and I was...
The commandlet's not very clear to me.
Right. No, I'm the same way, and I haven't had a chance to play with it. I don't know. It kind of sounds like the way I read it, that it's connecting it to an existing group, but that also seems kind of bizarre because every group already has an Office 365 or already has a SharePoint site, and I've never seen that ability to do a one-to-many relationship with one group being tied to multiple SharePoint site collections?
I think it could just be a verbiage thing the way it's written up, but it is, it's just confusing. But at least it's only a tenant feature and it's only available in PowerShell right now. So it'll only be confusing to a certain number of folks along the way. The other cool thing you can do is go ahead. There's a thing in the PNP framework. There's a solution out there for PNP tools called the Modernization Scanner. And you can kind of run that beforehand just to make sure that you're actually all ready to go. So that can actually tell you whether your site is ready for ready to be groupified or groupification. Would that be a thing if we're just making up words? So it'll actually go through, give you warnings, blockers, anything like that. Also potential areas that you need to remediate, and also tell you a little bit about how to modernize your pages and push things across. So I've actually just got a download available for that one, or you can compile it yourself and go ahead and run it off.
Yeah, so it looks like I was digging through articles a little bit more. And here it says SharePoint Online Classic team sites to new groups. So, and that would be my assumption. So it sounds like this doesn't tie it to an existing group. Even though you're setting it, even though the command looks a little goofy, it does sound like it's going to be creating a new Office 365 group.
That's a plus.
And stage one is PowerShell only. They will roll this eventually to the UI, where in the settings menu in those classic team sites, you will also be able to connect them to a group via the browser, UI, all of that.
Awesome. And not at all confusing. Love it.
Exactly.
What could go wrong?
Nothing.
Nothing at all. So one more to kind of close it out real quick. So they're updating the access request feature. So if you've ever visited a SharePoint site or you know gotten a link to somebody's OneDrive and you see that very ugly page just with the text box in the middle and you're not quite sure what's going on there and what's happening with it, they're allowing you now to make some updates to that page, or realistically they're putting some more settings in there. So now we can do more than just say, hey, like let's allow or disallow access requests. You can actually put a custom message on the page now. Like, hey, you know, this is the page that's run by Ben, and Ben is, you know, only in the office on Mondays and Wednesdays. So if you don't hear back from him for the next couple of days, that's okay, and that's to be expected. Please don't come in and keep hitting request access or, you know, calling us or opening up help desk tickets or whatever it happens to be along the way. So interesting to see that one finally come. It's probably been a long time coming and one of those low-hanging fruit things, but always good to see it pop up and come across. Hopefully they add things like logos and some other customizations that we can potentially put on those pages just to brand them and make them look a little bit more like our corporate identities.
Yeah, I like this update. It was kind of interesting when I first read the headline. I'm going to go on a little bit of a rant here. We got a couple minutes left about naming. It says customization of the access request flow in OneDrive and SharePoint Online. And at first I was like, ooh, access request, we can tie it to Flow because Flow is in there and Flow is a product. And I was like, now that'd be kind of cool if you could actually tie in a Microsoft Flow to an access request.
Oh, you're thinking about it way too hard.
I know. And then I started reading it and I'm like, oh, they just mean like the access request process, not a flow tied to access request. And then I was disappointed. Oh, flows and flow and groups and teams of teams. And
yeah, groupify all the things. You got it.
Yes. And on that note, we should probably call it a morning.
Yeah.
Or go do real work.
There is that part too, I suppose.
All right. Well, thanks, Scott. Another good time discussing all the fun news.
Yeah. Thanks, Ben. Appreciate it.
All right. Not a problem. Thank you, and we'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye. If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.